This episode of Young and Happy is brought to you by Thursday Boots. I love Thursday Boots. I wear Thursday Boots. I have Thursday Boots. This is not a fake ad. I love Thursday Boots. I wore them all last week, Ron.
Wore them on the plane.
I wore them on the plane. I wore them in the rain. I wore them
on the train.
When we saw a guy that looked like T-Pain that you got in a fight with at the inauguration. Listen, the next part of the read was talk about a personal story. That was a personal story. That was like a very good narrative of my experience with Thursday Boots. I like them. I wear them. I have the Commanders if you want to know about that. Thursday Boot Company is really committed to honest pricing, and with prices starting at $149, including free shipping and returns, Thursday Boots is the best buy this season. Thursday Boots' clean, timeless design and durability will keep you standing confident for years to come.
That's honest pricing.
Wow, man. All right, let's get into it.
I'm just trying to make things more fun and more interactive.
Glad from a wow way, BB.
Did I express myself? Did I let my light shine through?
You can do anything you put your mind to. Never give up on your dreams.
I'm living for the moment.
Every day, Saturday, and every day I feel good.
You got no sauce, man. You're lost.
This is Young and Happy.
All right, so it's another week. Another Young and Happy episode.
I'm going to need more energy out of you.
Let's crank it up. Another week, another Young and Happy episode, and boy, am I fired up.
You look fired up.
We just did a freaking another one. This past week, we did some shit.
What?
Boy, we did some fucking shit.
Are we just cursing for fun?
No, because it was some actual fucking shit.
Oh,
we went
my
to a porn convention.
Sure did.
And we saw some pornography.
We saw pornographers.
We saw pornography. We saw pornographers. We saw sex. We saw sex toys. We saw the sex business. We met people behind the scenes in sex.
Turns out there's a lot of people having sex, Ron.
We got so deep into sex that it was almost as if we were having sex ourselves, but alas, we did not.
With one another.
Alas, we were not able to do that. So we went to the Porn Awards last week.
No, I take back what I said. I was hoping you were going to say something funny, but since you didn't, it kind of made me look vulnerable and out there with a weird joke.
But that's how you grow.
Okay, you got shooters shoot.
Shooters absolutely have to shoot. So yeah. We went out to the Porn Awards. That was Tuesday.
We did this for a job. Hey, everyone listening, this is for our job. It was for work. We weren't just like, oh,
we
want to go to the Porn Awards because we're porn guys.
We were on assignment.
We were James Bonding.
And then after the Porn Awards, we went all the way out from Washington, or we went from Vegas all the way out to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration to see Trump, another fucker, get elected president.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what a wise man once wrote.
What did he say?
He said, this week we are seeing sexist elites, and then we are going to go see sexist elites. You said that wrong.
Sexist elite and sexist elites.
Came across well on paper. I don't know how well you can distinguish what we're talking about via audio. Now listen to this. I think the inauguration was interesting. It was cool. There'll be a video out. There'll be a video out when this comes out, probably, right? But let's talk about, the thing to talk about is porn.
Yeah, the inauguration was really cool. There was a lot going on. We saw America go through a peaceful transfer of power, but the porn is every time we got back to the office and no one's really asking about DC. Everyone's like, yo, so how was the porn awards? Like, did you go to the actual awards? Like, did you see lots of porn stars? Like,
bunch
did
of
you
freaking
see
pervs.
Like China Ashley or whatever? So these people's fucking porn names are. I don't know porn names like that.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people in the office as we came out of the closets as big porn guys,
which is wild. More power to them, but we got to go to the awards. We were on the we didn't go to the awards. We were on the convention floor. We got to see all the dildos getting thrown around, these monster dildos. We got to see the new sex toys.
Right.
We got to see the virtual reality porn. We met Ron Jeremy. We talked to Rakishi. We talked to a million porn stars whom y'all have seen scantily clad, but we got to see with their clothes on and have very informative conversations.
And on today's show, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about a story from the Porn Awards where Ron and I got really, really involved and close into the action. And that's coming up next. But also, I'd like to tease a little bit. We got the world's most, I don't know if he's the most famous.
Foremost porn star.
Yeah, male.
One of the biggest stars in porn.
Biggest stars in porn.
Yeah.
Kieran Lee, he's on the show today. His penis is insured for $1 million, folks. That doesn't happen to just anybody.
In fact, it has happened to no one else.
Besides him. We also on the show today have my cousin Paul, urologist. If you guys ever listened to the penis episode of the Caleb Pressler Show, he's been on the show before, making him a reoccurring guest. And he's also talking about a little bit of the science behind porn and how it affects your mental and physical health.
So we'll talk to Kieran.
We're talking dicks and brains, folks.
We'll talk to Greek cousin Paul. But let's talk a little bit about what we actually did at this convention. So we were lucky
enough.
Hold up.
I just want to do something real fast.
Okay, cool.
Can you throw in some type of cool sound effect to just get the people riled up? Because this is a good story that's about to happen. I'm talking to Producer Ben, by the way. Producer Ben, is your mic on?
Yes.
Can we get a verbal reaction from you on whether or not we can get a cool sound right here?
Correct.
All right, that was a verbal. That was a verbal confirmation.
And here's the sound to get us riled up.
Man, y'all niggas ain't gonna believe what the fuck happened to me.
There it was. All right, go ahead, Ron.
Okay, so to make sure that we are doing an adequate job of telling this story, because all three of us, Caleb, Benjamin, and myself, were all at the actual award. So we had to bring in a wait, explain that guy. We don't have third voice guy this week, but we have a wait, explain that guy for this story. It's actually Young Page, who's in the building right now.
What's up?
And a wait, explain that guy is, for anyone who doesn't know, first of all, you're dumb. You're real dumb. Second of all, everyone knows a story. Sometimes you leave out some crucial details. You need someone who's never fresh ears to go, wait, explain that. What are you talking about? So that's what Young Page Juice is doing.
So if there's any point where we're getting a little bit too ahead of ourselves, hit us with a wait, explain that.
I got you. I'm going to keep you honest right now.
Thank you. Keep us honest.
I appreciate that.
So we went to the awards, and we got to meet a lot of people on the floor. Not really a lot of them were Barstool fans. In fact, none of them were Barstool fans. But there was one performer at the awards who was a Barstool guy. His name is Damon Dice.
Yeah, he's a porn star.
What's he look like?
Like, dude, pretty like... hot, I guess.
Big dude.
He's a former athlete. He told us that he like tried to play in the NFL. I don't know where he played college ball. He's probably my height. He's probably about 6'2".
Played baseball.
He's
tasty abs.
Got a little tan on him. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. I saw him naked.
Well, let's get into that.
Okay, I'll tell you how I saw him naked. So this guy comes up to us and he says, "Hey, Ron and Caleb, big Barstool fan." Actually, that's not even what happened.
We got a text message from someone who knew him, and they were like,
"Asa was with us."
Yeah,
Asa Akira, one of the world's foremost famous porn stars, was with us, and he texted her.
And he was like, "Yo, I got to meet these guys, and like, wouldn't it be a crazy idea if we actually used them in our porno?"
Wait! You guys were in a porno,
bro. We were in a porno, so they wanted us to be in a porno, and we're like, "Well, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." Cameraman Ben, film this.
and also, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Please, nobody talk about this or nobody say this, because I'm pretty sure it was a legally shot porn.
Yeah, it was definitely unsanctioned porn.
What was the reason he said that you can't shoot
in Vegas?
Porn?
You need like a permit or something like that, and they didn't have any permits, so they were going guerrilla style.
So we will keep it in Vegas that they were shooting in the Hard Rock Hotel,
room 348.
We'll keep that in Vegas.
Okay,
because that stays there.
And so we're like, all right, we're going to go up to room 348 in the Hard Rock Hotel.
With Asa.
And, like, see what this is all about. Like, we're like, yeah, we might as well do it. So we come to this room, knocked on the door, and there we were on a porn set. We just walked onto a nice suite-sized room. There was a pool table sitting there, two big old bags of weed, there was just, I guess... This is how a porn set is dressed up. Camera.
Literally exactly how I would imagine. The director looked like the biggest porn guy of all time.
Very big porn guy.
He had a white beard with a little
soul patch
incorporated into the overall
looking.
Beard.
No offense, but great. I was greasy looking. Got dripping with grease. I pressed some paper to him.
Super
and
high.
It was see-through paper by the time I pressed it to him. He was that greasy. The guy, Damon, the man, really cool guy.
The Barstool fan, the Stoolie, he was cool.
He was really cool, and he was like, "Yo, let's get you guys in this porno." And so, like, we pretty much sat there and we workshopped a way to get us in. We're like, plot wise, like, how could we work this in?
I feel like they didn't do a good job planning. I just want to say that, and no offense if Dame is listening to this, and he probably will because he'll probably get tagged on social media. You probably are listening to this. First of all, thank you for having us. Second of all,
it wasn't his fault, though, because they already had a plan going, and they're like, all right, we're going to try and squeeze these guys into the plan we already had. So it was
I don't think they had a plan.
No, it was supposed to be just him meeting people on the floor, and he like selects her to bring her back up.
That's a dumb plan.
Well, I mean, it's the plot of a porn. Like, when was the last time you saw something and it was like, oh, my goodness, the storyline.
That's what Asa was talking about. It's like, I'm up for best actress this year. I was like, Asa.
So when you walked in the room, was he full mask, like naked? Or
no,
what?
He had his clothes on.
He's chilling. He came up. He's like shaking hands with us, and we're bullshitting. We're like, how can we figure our ways into this? He's like, he's closed. We like meet the female talent. Like, she's like just pretty. She's just chilling. You know what I mean? Obviously, like I said, there are some bags of the devil's lettuce that were going around. Maybe she partook in some of that.
Everyone in there, I don't think Damien was smoking.
No,
but
he was just happy to. I was happy to see him. He was happy to see us. Right. He was like fired up.
But I think everyone else in there, like the director, who we already talked about, and then we should also throw a shout out to the director of photography, because that guy also looked like the biggest porn guy of all time. He had like a long, braids that went all the way down his back, and all he said the whole time, he was just really high. And he had the lights, and he just kept saying, I make porn history, baby. I swear that's all he said for like 2 hours. However long
his ponytail was
hour.
So long, it went down to the floor and then it came back up.
And he was just like kind of a gross old guy. If you're listening to this, then you we. Oh, thanks.
Cat, yeah.
I mean, but you're a gross old guy. That
cat's out the bag.
Yeah,
he did make porn history, though. He got you guys into porno. That's
all he said.
Maybe that's why he was mumbling it under his breath the whole time. Like, finally, we got Caleb and Ron here to make some porn history.
So, anyways, but yeah, we met Dave, walks in. The weed's on the table. The girls are, and there was another girl that was like in, and Asa's with us, and she was like facilitating it. At first, it didn't feel weird at all. Like, it was like kind of walking.
It was
into,
so conversational.
Like,
they had worked. Asa and Damon had worked together before. They're like going back and forth. Like, oh, remember that scene we did recently? Like, what are you doing later on? Like, just very casual, colloquial. Like, we do this all the time.
It amazes me how fast something bizarre can normalize. If you are a part of it,
and it did normalize pretty quickly. Like, it was pretty, pretty fine, cool, and then like we got our lines, and
we kind of made our lines up. No, they gave us our lines because I actually, in the heat of the moment, picked one. They were like, "Which one do you want, Caleb?" And it was basically what the premise was: Ron and I were walking in the girl
as the henchman,
as henchman for this guy who's like a famous star, and this girl wanted to have sex with him because
star. Well, yeah, it was a virtual reality porn.
Oh, wow, we need to talk about that.
So we were actually like, hey, boss, here's the girl, and we're saying it to this guy in the film, but the viewer's experience is going to be he is our boss. Like, whoever is watching is going to be like me and Kayla's boss, because we're like, hey, boss, we brought you this girl. So it's like, you're in charge of us.
We really, if you guys watch this, like, we really made ourselves look bad.
Yeah,
so. If I watch it at home, I'm going to be, like, interacting with you.
But paid views.
Yes. Yeah,
first of all, yes. Second of all, if you watch at home, you have to have virtual reality goggles.
I have them. I will bring them in tomorrow for
Please
you.
Please don't.
No, don't. No.
I was hoping that the virtual reality would make it harder for anyone else to ever see this. But if you are telling me that a ton of people have the Samsung phone, like that commercial where they're going to Austin or Aspen or whatever and looking for a place to eat, I'm not going to be happy about this.
Yeah, I was leaning on heavy the fact that no one was going to be able to watch it because of that fact. I thought there just might be a few screen grabs out there. Because honestly, the reason I don't want people to see it is I was like displeased with my acting performance and with my lines. I thought that my lines were gross. Looking back on them, my line
Let's
was...
Let's do a re... Show. Why don't we do a live redo of what we did? Because she didn't have any lines. It was just the two of us.
Yes, and to preface this, what we're about to do, I don't like my lines.
And Ron, you be the judge.
Ron, you gotta do the voice that you did too.
Of course.
Okay. All right. And okay. So, scene in Hard Rock, not in the Hard Rock, because however we wanted to talk about that.
Hotel. Third floor. pool table.
Ron's on one side of this girl. I'm on the other side, and we're walking her into the boss.
Hey, boss! We found you this chick downstairs. That's pretty much what Caleb did right away. Laughed too.
I didn't know Ron was going to do the voice in real time.
We're henchmen.
I didn't know we were, like, from another planet.
We're henchmen. What are there, henchmen from where you're from? No, there's henchmen from New York.
So I had to create a...
Yo, boss.
I had to create an accent on the spot.
And it
just stop. I said, he said, oh, okay, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Yo, boss, we found you a good one downstairs.
Yeah, boss, and we swabbed her down and she's clean.
Yeah, we checked her for any type of contraband and she's good to go.
Hey, boss, so if there's just anything else you need from us, just let us know, but we're going to be outside, okay, boss?
We'll be right out front. And
end
then
scene.
End scene. We walk off and they proceed to get busy with one another. But I'll tell you what, if you had given that performance that you just gave over the radio on camera, the people wouldn't be so displeased with you as they are, because afterwards everyone was like, yo, Ron, you killed that. The director was like, yo, you're a real actor. But then they were like, Caleb,
okay,
I could have used more.
Okay, so I think Ron actually, thinking back on it, I think you did the accent out of nowhere. You didn't, because we talked about what we were going to say, and at no point, you could have easily told me that you were going to do the accent.
I didn't even know. It's character acting. It's method. I inhabited the character. I didn't know that I was going to
No, I disagree with you. I think you set me up for failure, because if you told me, Caleb, I'm going to do the accent, I could have done an accent. But just to drop it in the middle of a one-take Timmy scene.
I mean, we did two takes of it. And you still didn't do the accent.
The only reason we did two takes, though, was because I didn't look in the virtual reality.
Yeah, but you heard the accent.
Eyes.
I did the accent both takes, so don't give me the one take Timmy excuse.
Whatever. The guy said I was pretty good. He said I had a long. He just said that wrong.
A long what?
Exactly. So we were in the porn, and when it comes out, I don't know. I hope that no one watches it. And also for all the haters out there who say that, oh, you guys are in a porn, you're never gonna be able to get. And mom, I'm not calling you a hater, but. You're never going to be able to get a real job, or if something happens and you have to run for mayor or something. Well, guess what? Newsflash. Your president of the United States, Donald Trump, is also in the intro scene of a porn. And his porn, I guarantee you, has much, much,
he
much
is?
More views. Yes.
Where?
For Girls Gone Wild video.
That's not porn, though.
It's not?
That's like exhibitionist. You think that's porn? No one's banging in that.
But it was back in the day when it was porn. Now it's not porn.
Yeah, now it's not. Well,
back in the day, it was porn.
Well, maybe in like several years, what we did won't be porn anymore. By the time
virtual
we're running for
porn?
Office, it's like, that's not porn anymore.
That's actually how we screwed ourselves, because we actually did like the futuristic version of porn.
They're going to look back and see that old computer laptop stuff is
we
not
we could have got away with that, but with the future, we screwed that up. All right, so then we basically were in the porn, and then they're like, you want to stick around for a scene.
And we kind of stuck around.
It was one of those things. It's like, it's so bizarre.
Well, but they wasn't even. They didn't really ask if we wanted to stick around. They were kind of like, they just kind of like got into it.
True.
We like kind of stood to the side and they like just proceeded and not. They didn't give us any out. They weren't like, all right, like good job, guys. Like you can get out of here now. That like we just kind of went back to the side, and they started.
Right, well, we're not giving Lucy, the girl actor, enough credit, because when we walked off, the show went on, and she continued to talk to our friend Damon. I don't know what he's named in the porn. And then they started doing...
Well, he was named Dave Portnoy in the porn.
They were doing sex.
He was named our boss, though. He had Dave Portnoy's credential lanyard around his neck, which he was proud of.
Okay, folks, I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say what you were all asking and thinking. Yes, we were in the room while they had the sex.
The beginning of the sex, not the all of the sex.
We did leave, though, because I think I speak for both of us, and I can honestly say this. It was one of the most uncomfortable things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, they really pulled back the veil on porn for me. It wasn't like, it's like really the Wizard of Oz when they like pull back the thing, and it's like the man behind the curtain is like a little runt, and like, and it's like the magic of Oz is gone. The magic of porn might be gone for me.
So if I'm checking out your guys' work, just researching, can I look back and see you guys, like, in the virtual reality?
I don't know, TBD?
But Ben is nodding his head vigorously.
Producer Ben was, I think, trying to, like, get in the action.
He squared himself to the camera. Like, we were all against the wall, flush, trying to hide, and he, like, put a chair down and was like...
I literally think he wants to... Like, I think they were hoping that the guy was, like, it was going to be like, oh, can you come help me, one of you guys? And
like, we need someone...
We need a guy, it's our other henchman, Producer Ben.
Like, when Homer Simpson's, like, dreaming of being on the Dallas Cowboys, and they just point to him in the stands, like, we need you. We need you, Producer
dream.
Ben. We need a stunt cock.
But I'll tell you what, man. Don't meet your heroes.
And it was, I mean, sad and dark is one way that some people might put it. but I wouldn't. It was just like, it just turned into more of a business transaction. They would cut for like sound and shit like that. It wasn't like just fluid, like front to back, like
disgusting use of fluid right there.
Yeah, but it was not that though.
So we left.
You should talk about the director pitching lines during the filming.
Oh yeah. So basically, the guy with the soul patch inside of his beard was literally showing no respect for this girl and was pitching her the lines. That's what I'm saying. They didn't plan this out at all. It was the most poorly planned porn I've ever been a part of, Ron. They just didn't. He was just pitching lines. Like, I don't even remember what he was saying. Do you remember what he was saying? Actually, I do. I remember exactly what he was saying, but I just don't want to say it.
But he was like, he was encouraging her to let the man know how well endowed he was and beautiful he was.
And how excited she was.
But that also pulled it back on me because you'd see that in like a video and you're like, oh, she's saying that because she wants to. She might not be saying it because she wants to. She might have been directed to be so nice to the guy. So yeah. You think they have a great relationship.
And the guy would feed her lines and he would look over at us and then like, and be like,
so there's like a ponytailed man saying you have a huge.
Yes,
like,
that's exactly.
Tell him that
you were even afraid to say it.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
We're a bunch of cowards in this room, yeah. This young and happy room.
The directors were also wearing shirts that said wank on them. They just said wank.
That's the production company name, I think.
It was. Shout out to those guys. All right, so that was our porn story. And then later that night, I mean, we had a night. We ended up going out with a bunch of porn stars, which was pretty normal going out. The only difference I would say is that we were with the one and only Mr. Kieran Lee, who got us into the club
in
Las Vegas.
He was so nice to us. Bro, I got separated from the group. I was in a different limousine pretty much, a different like party bus on the way there. Like you guys were all in a different car than I was. And he held up the entire group to make sure that I got in there. He had no obligation to me. I was wearing a jumpsuit looking like a schmuck. I probably wouldn't have ever gotten into that club if I weren't part of this group. But he hung around. He was the man. We're like, hey, maybe you want to come on our Young and Happy podcast because you seem like a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, no, seriously, like I didn't go into the week thinking that this episode would be about porn, but him, how cool he was and how the cool vibes and like how just nice he was to both of us. And you can really tell a lot about somebody. You come across these people every now and then that would really just stick out to you like, yo, this person is being really nice and they're really genuine and it's coming across very transparent. And that's how it was to Ron and I. And so we asked him to be on the show. And then just everything made sense for it, just the whole thing to be about porn. But he's on the show. So introducing Mr. Kieran Lee, who's, is he the world's, maybe Ron Jeremy and him are the world's most famous men porn
stars? Bigger than Jeremy these days. Jeremy's washed.
Yeah,
no offense, Ron.
Yeah, Ron, we met you, man. You're washed. So without further ado, is that how you say it?
Without further ado.
Mr. Kieran Lee, the man whose penis is insured for $1 million. We're here with Kieran Lee, who is the million-dollar dick.
You are known around the world as the man with the million-dollar dick.
Yeah, I know. When people say that, I hope they just think about my penis and not just Kieran Lee, the dick, because a lot of people think that I am a dick as well.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's just because I'm quite arrogant at times.
Because I am.
Yeah, well, I always say this. This is my saying, and it gets everyone. I wouldn't say I'm the best performer in the business, but I'm definitely in the top one.
I'll be honest. Before I met you, not having known you before that, I kind of got that impression. But meeting you, you were like the nicest guy that I met at the porn convention.
I can second that. Nicest guy. Coolest guy we met the whole trip. We were gone for the entire week, and you were the coolest person we met.
Thank you very much, boys. Did you have a good trip?
Yeah, we did.
We had a blast. We were kind of in and out, but you know, that's the way at porn conventions, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
In and out.
No. I had the pleasure of spending 8 hours in the car with Asa yesterday.
What were you guys doing?
Oh my god.
Driving home. All the flights from LA were cancelled because of bad weather, and so we decided to drive home. And she was in a foul mood.
Why?
Because she didn't think she was driving home that day. She thought she was staying an extra day so she could stay in bed. So I literally opened the car and she was passed out on the back seat. And she was so miserable the whole way home. And she, to be fair, she only woke up for gossip, which was quite impressive.
You guys got some good gossip in?
Yeah, we got a good, solid 4 hours worth of gossip, I think.
Well, how about just one tidbit? You don't have to give us the whole 4 hours of gossip, but what was like the juiciest tidbit?
Best piece of gossip from the Porn Awards.
Ooh, juiciest piece of gossip. It would be about a certain performer's outfit.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't even sound good. That's not even sound juicy.
No, it is. this is going to be like ongoing gossip, I think, for the next few days.
Why? So what was it?
It's quite controversial. If I said it, I could get some people in trouble, so I'm probably not going to say anything.
That's not, but that's big. That's the biggest piece of gossip, because we were even hearing about people getting kicked out of places, people getting in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, we heard about that. Okay. We probably won't talk about that, or can we?
Yes, I did. Let's talk about it. So he's actually one of the guys that works for Brazzers. I'm throwing him right under the bus, but hey, he's got to learn.
He's a young guy.
He's got to learn. Jordy, he's a little contract guy that we've got. And he looks about 12, but he's actually like 23. But it was his first AVN show. And
doesn't speak a lick of English.
Not a word of English. And I think he got a little bit too excited. And, you know, I've got to take quite a lot of the blame for this, because, you know, I'm an Englishman. I like to have a drink. And unfortunately, Geordie's only very top and he can't drink the same amount. And I got him a little too tipsy. And the next thing I know, we got back to the hotel bar and it was kind of weird. This is how we sound. He's like, Kieran, I go pee-pee. Like, I have a young son. I have a son that's 2 years old. And he says, Daddy, I need to pee-pee. So it was kind of a trip for me. So anyway, he goes to the toilet. He's gone 30-odd minutes. I was like, you know what? I'm going to bed. This is it. The next morning, I find out that he went to the bathroom. Not just any bathroom. He went to the ladies' bathroom.
Ooh.
And decided to touch himself inappropriately and pass out.
Wow. And this is happening at a porn convention. So he's not getting away from that? He's not getting away with that?
No, because it's in a public place. Do you know what I mean? He's lucky he didn't get locked up.
Kira, that's not tipsy. That's drunk.
He was white boy wasted, for sure.
That was white boy wasted.
In his defense, doesn't speak a lot of English. Maybe he confused the bathrooms or something like that?
Yeah, they call them water closets. Other places.
Yeah, but I think the pictures on the bathroom gives it away. You know, a little man and a little woman.
Yeah, that's true. There's a universal symbol for woman. Do you think the woman on the door is what got him so randy? Do you think that's why he was beaten off, that silhouette?
Possibly. You know, she had a nice little black dress on. You know, that can do it for me. And maybe that's Geordie's, kink.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yo, okay, so we want to talk a little bit away from the Porn Awards, which we had a great time with you at, but we want to talk about just kind of you. The kind of the premise of our show is it's called Young and Happy, and basically it's about just being happy and young. And so that's you are interesting to us because you kind of do something I think a lot of people maybe resort to for fun or happiness. Maybe it's like kind of like what their
release is almost. Like people have sex to get away from everything.
But that's your job.
Yeah, and that's the thing that. As much as it is a job, I'm married. I have a little boy, and you know my work is my work. But what I like to do to get away from it all is I'm a huge football fan.
Okay.
And when I mean football, I mean soccer.
Right.
Huge. So you know everybody looks at our career and think, oh wow, it's amazing. You get to have sex with all these, you know, beautiful women and things like that. But a lot of people don't realize it really is a job. And we have, sometimes I'm there, I'll be in the middle of the scene and I can look up and I'll see the sound guy just playing away on his iPhone, makeup doing the same, lighting. Nobody's interested in actually what's going on in front of the camera, apart from the camera guys. And it's not as glamorous as it sounds as well. You know, it's opening up for the camera. You're not enjoying the sex like you would at home.
Has that affected your, like, in general enjoyment of sex? Like, is there still, like, sex you have that's, like, something to you? Or is it all just a business transaction?
Well, no, like, for me, like, you know, like you just said, I'm married, so I love having sex with my wife, you know, because there's the attachment, emotional attachment and everything like that. And to be fair, I have to apologize to my wife sometimes when we're having sex because, you know, I can go all day on camera. You know, they'll say 30, 40 minutes in, no problem. I have sex with my wife and, you know, I two-pump chump it and I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I'll make it up to you tomorrow.
That's big for the average man, though. Even porn stars are two-pump chumps.
Yeah, exactly. And that's about 1 minute worth of foreplay.
That's amazing.
Yo, so you watch football. What is the thing? Like, if you go through a daily routine for you or your schedule, what are the things that you are intentional about making sure that you do just for you, just that it makes you happy, makes you tick? We had people who say they, you know, they get coffee every day. What is it for you?
For me, it's on the weekend. When I have to film on the weekend, my crew know that it's going to be a later call time because I set my alarm for like 4 a.m. Saturday morning, and I literally watch all the football matches before I go to work.
Wow.
And then I've even been known, and this is really bad, when I'm on set, and sometimes they play midweek games in England, so it'll be like a 8 p.m. kickoff in England, so, you know, 12 o'clock in L.A., I will actually have the radio on, listening to the scene, listening to the game while I'm in the middle of my scene.
That's how you stay hard.
Hey, Derby County were my first love.
That's who your squad is?
Yeah, Derby County.
How are they doing this year?
They're not doing bad. They had a rocky start at the beginning. Now they're getting a lot better. So hopefully this season we can get into the English Premier League.
Yo, so do you have any we'll let you go pretty soon. I told you it's not going to be too long of an interview, but do you have any advice to kind of the average guy? We're both in our 20s, kind of young guys. We're not porn stars, but we're kind of – any advice from a little bit of – you're not old, but a little bit older than us of guys growing up, what should we be looking for? What should we be focusing on to make sure that we're doing the right things, being happy?
Just when it comes to sex or just in general?
Just in general.
Just enjoy, like, for me, always make time for your friends. And that was, you know, my big thing. When I first came over, I was dead set on just making my career, you know, go from the start. And I kind of ignored my friends a little bit. And, you know, I still speak to them daily, but I didn't see them as often. And now I take that so, you know, for granted, because now they're grown up, they've got kids, you know, family, and it's a lot harder to, you know, arrange a night out with the boys. And for me, my friends, they backed me on everything I did. You know, it was a very difficult career to, you know, get into the porn. And everybody was like, oh, I don't know. But my friends backed me 110%. And so I owe a lot to them. So as a young guy, like I said, no matter if you get girlfriends or whatever, make sure you make time for your friends.
That's very wise. That's sage wisdom right there. Yeah. And how about from, I know you said you have a young son. Would you ever encourage your son? Would you be happy if he followed your career path?
Probably not. Just because I know I've been really lucky in my career in the sense that I landed with the right company. And, you know, I've managed to make a career out of it. A lot of guys that get into the industry, they're not as fortunate. And, you know, it can be hard for them to make, you know, good money and last, to have the longevity for that kind of career. And, it you know, let's not beat around the bush. It's, if they have a good 2-3 years in the business, it's still going to be hard for them to come out of the industry and find a regular job.
So maybe we'll get to see him as a football player or something like that, see him on the pitch instead.
It would be my dream. If he made it as a football player, it'd be, you know, I'd be the proudest dad no matter what, though.
So what do you got coming up? What's next up for you?
Well, I'm flying to Miami next week, filming a reality show for Brazzers. And then
what does that mean? That just means I'm filming a porn?
Pretty much, but it's kind of like we've got cameras all around the house. So basically they're putting 10 porn stars in a house for the week and, you know, filming it on the go. So it is going to be interesting. It's not just sex. So you see some of the little dramas, some of the girls in the industry are so much drama, and they're quite exciting to watch at times. So it's funny. We did this once before and it was really entertaining in the sense of we had girls fighting each other. We had girls having food fights. Then it was just fun to do. So we're doing that again. And then I'm flying over to Boston to see family. And then from there, I go over to England and I'm going to be shooting a bit in England because I get a little bored just shooting in Los Angeles all the time.
Perfect.
That sounds fantastic, man. Yo, we can't say how much we appreciate you coming on. Huge guest for us. And you were just the man when we met you. So we can't appreciate you enough.
It's a pleasure, boy. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, so nice. It's like you're compensating for something.
Yeah.
See you, man.
All right, yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Take it easy.
Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
All right.
Ciao.
All right.
This is Lindsay Lohan, and you're listening to Young and Happy.
All right, so that interview, along with everything else that's happened to us this week, has made us kind of want to think about porn, and we saw kind of the manifestation of it with all the people there, but we kind of want to think about it from another point of view, which was, why are people watching it so much?
Yeah, why do we, I mean, like, it's like, okay, the obvious answer is, like, we like tits, like we like fucking, but, like, why?
Porn's in right now. It's hot in the streets.
But has it always been in?
It's always been in. I think it's getting hotter and hotter in the streets as it goes by. Happy fact, I know this is not the happy fact segment yet, 25% of all Google search engine, all search engine period, point blank period, 25% of all of them are porn related.
But I think people kind of get the perception that, like, right now, like, shit is as bad as it's ever been. Like, no, there's just more technology now and more access. Like, when as soon as cameras were made, people were taking pictures of naked people and, like, dudes were jacking off to them. Like, as soon as people could paint, they were painting pictures of women in the odalisk form with their sexy bottom to the camera.
Nice word.
Yeah, look it up.
I have no idea what it means.
And people were getting off to it. So it's like, this is something that is older than just a recent fad. It's something that is maybe ingrained in us. Like, it's something that is part of us. Like, why we have this proclivity to, like, want to see
proclivity?
Other people.
Okay,
bro,
you're lunking.
Throwing them around.
You're lunking.
Now, son, that was a natural one. It was like we want this. There's like a wiring in us that wants this, and like, what is that wiring?
Okay, so I don't want to lunk, because I'm not a lunker. I don't want to come across like I'm.
But preparing isn't lunking. I don't think.
I did a little preparation for this show.
Attaboy.
And this is why we're so inclined to like it. Okay, basically what's going on is the main thing I took away that you need to know about is something called the Coolidge effect.
The Coolidge effect.
So I'm gonna read this. So I don't mess it up. This is the Coolidge effect. In biology and psychology, the Coolidge effect is the phenomenon seen in animal species whereby males, and to a lesser extent females, exhibit renewed sexual interest if introduced to new receptive sexual partners, even after the cessation of sex, which is the stoppage of sex, with prior but still available sexual partners. The evolutionary benefit to this phenomenon is that males can fertilize multiple females.
Let's hit that in layman's terms.
Yeah.
Like, a guy, male, in any species, no matter how much sex he's getting from his current partner, there's some wiring to be aroused by a different stimuli.
Yep. Perfect. Because it helps back in the day, or I guess still, to populate. And it's kind of like what, if you're speaking from an evolution standpoint, we're kind of designed, we've evolved into being very good eaters,
right?
Very good sleepers,
great sleepers,
very good reproducers,
and because of this Coolidge effect,
because
we want to spread our seed, we want to have as many partners as possible, so as to protect our lineage.
Right. So how this relates to porn is basically we're automatically guys, and to a lesser extent females. We are inclined to love. We get dopamine rushes from new, like, girls. Cause, right?
So what does this mean to you, fellas? This just means that, I guess, you have a get out of jail free card if you ever get caught looking at porn. You just say, "Oh, I'm wired to do this."
Coolidge effect.
Blame Darwin.
Blame Coolidge, because this is actually the origin of the term, bro.
Is it Calvin Coolidge?
Calvin Coolidge, the president of the United States.
Really?
You thought presidents couldn't be scumbags till 2017.
So wait, he was a scumbag?
No. All right, here's a story. Here's a story. An old joke about Calvin Coolidge when he was president. The president and Miss Coolidge were being shown separately around an experimental government farm. When Miss Coolidge came to the chicken yard, she noticed that the rooster was mating very frequently. In layman's terms.
Having sex.
Having the old sex.
Rooster sex. Cock. Cock sex.
Cock sex, nothing better. She asked the attendant how often that happened and was told dozens of times each day. Miss Coolidge said, "Tell that to the president when he comes by." It's kind of a little snotty of her.
So she was like saying, like, tell that to Calvin because he's not fucking me that much.
Yep.
Wow. Calvin Coolidge's wife was like a anti-slut shamer?
Yeah.
Wow. She was ahead of her time.
She's very progressive. Upon being told by the guy, the tour guy, the president asked, so backtrack a little bit. Miss Coolidge asked, how often are they doing this? And then when she found out, she said, tell that to the president when he comes by. When the president saw what was happening, he said, same hen every time? And the reply was, oh, no, Mr. President, a different hen every time.
I bet Mrs. Coolidge didn't like that answer.
The president said, tell that to Miss Coolidge.
Damn. Silent Cal. That was his nickname, Silent Calvin
Did
Coolidge.
He die in a bathtub?
No, that was Taft, I think.
Dang. Yeah, it was Taft.
That was You're Legend. Right on it. Here's a Coolidge story, just not about porn at all, but one time a reporter came up to him and was like, I bet another reporter that I can make you say more than three words. And his response was, you lose. Silent Cal. But I guess he wasn't that silent when he was talking about these chickens fucking.
Yeah, these words, tell that to Miss Coolidge. So basically, the Coolidge effect, basically what you need to know is that we are designed, like it or not, to be very receptive to different types of stimuli. And one of the very effective types of stimuli there is pornography. And it's pretty much dominating. It's hot in the streets. Everyone's into it. There's virtual reality going. We just heard from the world's number one porn star male.
But I think what's interesting about the Coolidge effect is it has to be manifesting itself in other parts of our lives. Like, there has to be some other things, like, say, with the Coolidge effect, the original rooster that he was banging, he didn't get interested in. There has to be stuff in our lives that we once were interested in, but the Coolidge effect has affected it, and now that we might not be as interested in it, or it might have fallen out of favor in our life just because of our want to find other things. So this segment, sure, we're going to call the Coolidge Effect, and we're going to get into some stuff that maybe we used to really be into and we're not as into anymore.
Yeah, and I got a good one that relates to me heavily, and it's football.
Football.
I used to, and I still love football. I watch it all the time. You know, I'm a fan of certain players mostly. Obviously, I went to the University of North Carolina, played there, fan of them, fan of the Panthers. But when I was growing up, all I thought about was football. It was football, football, football. I slept football. I wanted to become a good football player. I wanted to know about football. I read about football. I knew everything about every football play. I mean, like, literally, it's all I thought about.
Uh-huh.
Girls, I mean, like, didn't exist to me. Football, all I cared about. And when I was in high school, during the summer, I would go to summer camps for football. I just spent every waking second thinking about football. And then I went to college, and then it turned into kind of like a job in college where it's like, even if you don't want to spend every waking second on football, you still have to. And then after doing that for 4 years, I think I hit a little Coolidge effect with it.
And you're just out of the not out of the football game, but it just doesn't do it for you anymore.
I started getting new stimuli. Like, I started – when I traveled abroad, right, and I saw, like, all this other stuff that was going on that I previously wasn't aware of or receptive to, like, you know, just basically, like, real life that people were doing that weren't doing football 24/7, waking up at 5 a.m. doing workouts and then staying up till 10 o'clock doing study hall. And I was going out into the world and just seeing things and seeing art and watching movies and – being with friends that didn't know anything about football, because in Scotland, football is a different sport completely.
Right.
So once I hit that point, I think I had a huge Coolidge effect with football.
And you're just like, there is more in the world than just Coolidge, than just football.
Right. So I think that maybe it can apply to other areas. Yeah, I think so.
I think, I mean, to me, like, the parallel to football for me, or football with you, football is to Caleb as battle rap is to me.
So you're saying that you hate battle rap and you're no longer ever going to do a battle rap competition and you're retiring? And who gets your chains now? Can I wear your chains?
So
Can I be the battle rap champion?
So I am not retiring from battle rap, and I don't think that I've lost my interest in it, but having this new stimuli of Barstool Sports has made me, like, maybe not less interested in battle rap, but it doesn't consume my time. I used to be on message boards. I used to not miss a battle. And I don't know the last time I watched a rap battle, because it takes up so much time. Like, there's other things that stimulate me. But I'm not going to use that as my Coolidge effect. I'm going to go
with... You just did.
But I just wanted to draw a parallel between you and I. I want to just throw mine as cartoons. When I was a little kid, I used to love to watch cartoons. And I think it's just maybe part of growing up that, like, maybe the first thing in the morning isn't cartoons anymore. Like, I used to care so much about going downstairs, rushing downstairs, being able to get up on time to watch my cartoons.
Okay, but what have you replaced it with? Because that's what the Coolidge effect is all about. I was like, what did you replace it with?
Well, I mean, that
new
was just
stimuli.
Like a super
What's
duper
the new
old
stimuli?
One. So maybe, all right, then I will say it. I mean, battle rap to Barstool.
But I mean, it might have been like SportsCenter. Like, you might have grown out of cartoons and got into SportsCenter.
I think that is like a natural progression. There is like a cartoons to sports to like girls to music like that happens right. in people's lives.
Right. And I think how it relates back to what we're doing here, why we're doing this show, is are we okay with that? Like, I think after reading about it, I definitely think it can mess up some relationships. Now, as far as porn goes, you know, I don't have any type of advice. And maybe I'll save my porn advice for the end of the show.
Okay.
But I think that as far as, like, being open to receiving new stimuli and it being okay, like, yo, I dedicated my whole life to football, but I was more, once I kind of got the new stimuli, like, yo, that was cool. That was good. And it's a natural thing, I think.
I think that, I mean, it, a lot of times, even if you're like, arguing with someone from your past or something, they'll be like, you changed. But I think that maybe it's a good thing to be changing. I don't think we should use that as a way to like feel shame that like we change the things that are interesting to us. Like we change the things that interest us. Like we like evolve as people. And I think that that's a good way to look after your own happiness, to find what the next thing is that's going to drive you and give you these rewards.
Porn,
but I think
porn.
But I think that there's a lot of scientific ground that we're getting into right now, so maybe it would be a good time for us to talk to your cousin.
Oh my goodness gracious, my cousin, he's a urologist. He's from Greece, a Greek penis doctor. He's currently working in the UK. He's awesome. He has a great accent. So we got two great accents on the podcast. When you're making audio content, you literally, all you can ask for is great accents, and we gave you the two of the best ones.
We knocked him out of the park accent-wise, and I have some questions that I'm pretty eager to ask him, so let's get into it.
Roll the tape. Okay, so we're here now with my cousin Paul, who is a urologist from Greece. Right now he is in England practicing. He's a doctor, but we have questions. A urologist, for anyone who doesn't know, is, well, Paul, what's a urologist?
Oh, hi. What's a urologist? A urologist is a surgeon that performs surgery in a certain area that has to do with urine. So everything that has to do with kidneys, the tubes that bring the urine from the kidneys to the bladder, called ureters, the bladder itself, and then the genitals, both for male and female.
And so you know a lot. You're when it comes to genitals, you're my go-to guy for questions.
Yeah, I know I am.
So today we're doing an episode about porn, and we want to know from you,
yeah,
someone who knows about genitals and also has been to years and years and years of medical training and school. What are your general thoughts on porn and how it relates to just health for a man, from a men's point of view? We're not really talking about girls today, I don't think.
Well, I think this is a big opportunity, and it can open the Pandora box as a question, and it won't be enough time for us to discuss about that issue, because there are many and many, many different ways you can interpret this question. I'm just going to say that it's definitely not bad. It can be healthy and it can be also unhealthy. There is research on this issue that proves that it is quite addictive also. So we've got to be careful. Sorry?
Emphasis on the dick. It puts the dick in addictive.
Well, yes, addictive. It's addictive.
Right.
So we got to be careful with these addictions, and especially when it becomes to porn.
So more specifically, to make, because that is kind of a hard question we basically just gave you. From your point of view, do you think that
as a medical professional,
would you recommend? Say someone's never watched porn, ever. Would you recommend them starting?
Well,
a man, not a little kid, but a man who's never watched porn. But would you say, as a medical professional, it's probably better that you do, or it's probably better that you don't?
I really, honestly cannot comment on that. And the reason is because I wish not to affect anyone, not even those that work in this industry. But what I can definitely say is that it's interesting for somebody that has never, ever watched PORN. It might be surprisingly something major in his life.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
But you have told me before, and we talked about it on the last episode. Well, you were on the Caleb Presley show before, and
yes,
we talked
I was.
About like just the orgasm for a guy is it important for his health? Is what you said?
It is. So, actually, there is research that proves that ejaculation number relates with prostate cancer protection.
So what's like so, the best of what's a healthy amount of times to be ejaculating per month?
Some time ago, I read about this paper that was published. I can't remember where, but it spoke about an average of 20 times per month.
And that's kind of like the best. That's like
so twice every 3 days.
An average, yes, twice every 3 days. Yeah.
Paul, we were doing research for this episode, and I saw it was from a speech from Philip Zimbardo at the TED Talk, and he okay. said that his stat was that the average boy watches up to 50, not up to, they watch the average boy watches 50 porn clips a week.
50 clips. How long is a clip?
I don't know. He just said clips, but just that, it means the average, so that means that there's boys watching 100 clips as well.
Paul, sorry to interrupt. I have a question about what you just said. There, it seems as if there's a correlation between ejaculating and health, but there
yes.
also might be some type of correlation between pornography and a lack of health. Is there any way that we can reconcile these two things and like be ejaculating enough but not having to rely on the negative and maybe addictive effects of pornography?
Great question. Great question. I can definitely say scientifically speaking, there is proof and connection with negative effects of pornography routinely used for ejaculation. And the reason is because there is an addiction on pornography at some point, and it creates an environment, psychologically speaking, for us guys using it as a means, as an instrument of irritation for ejaculation. This addiction becomes worse and worse. So it's completely different as a use of, let's say, material use of for ejaculation rather than material use for having it as an extra with our sexual life.
So maybe it would be more healthy, not to get a little bit dirty, but to think of prior experiences for something like that rather than correlating your ejaculation habits to something that would be A, addictive, or B, maybe unrealistic or unattainable.
Correct, 100%.
All right, Paul. Well, do you have any more questions, Ron, that you want to ask?
I guess one last question would be about, from what I've seen, that pornography becomes addictive because of the flooding of dopamine in the brain.
True.
So
and what dopamine brings is pleasure at the very end.
So is there, it seems inherent in that question that if there is a rise in dopamine, that there has to kind of be a crash or a drought of dopamine. Is there any way that we can keep like a constant level of dopamine to keep our happiness instead of having peaks and valleys, just at a consistent rate?
Well, there are several ways that can bring you higher levels of dopamine in life, even without the use of substances, just by being human and having a normal, healthy life full of happiness and being able to do things that we really like and love, generally speaking. If you really do what you want to do in life on a daily basis, theoretically, but also practically, it should have, as a result, a higher level of constant dopamine levels every day.
That makes sense because evolutionarily speaking, we have dopamine because it's a response. It's to accomplishing a task that we should repeat, correct?
Exactly.
So it's just like if you go about your day and you're doing things and you're accomplishing things, you would be naturally getting natural dopamine.
Huh. Yes, you would.
So are we ruining that if we overstimulate? Can you still get that? Say someone's like been addicted to porn for like a year or something like that, and they've been overstimulating their dopamine. If they were able to break that habit, could they re-enter into a normal lifestyle and still get constant dopamine?
Well, I'm not in psychology and psychiatry, but from what I remember from university years, addiction in porn is quite serious and it can be treated, but it needs professional therapy and it might take a long time. It's said and it's published in many scientific research papers, magazines, that there are many, many different ways that pornography can become addictive into our life. And mainly, if I remember correctly, it's more than 60% of addictive persons are guys rather than girls. But what's very surprising is that these percentages are changing within the last years, and there is an increase also in women that rely on pornography material. And that's very interesting, I think, too.
That is interesting. All right, Paul, well, we'll let you go. Thank you for coming on the show. As always, you're always or will be.
It's always a pleasure.
You always will be our penis guy.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks so much, Paul.
Your penises.
Okay, love you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
I'll talk to you soon, man. Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
This is Osama Bin Laden, and you're listening to Young and Happy.
And that was Greek cousin Dr. Paul.
Which I think we should get him in the mix more often.
I think, anytime that we have medical questions, I think that we should have a scientific person that we go to.
He's super hesitant to answer anything because he's like an actual professional, so he doesn't want to like get in trouble.
Yeah, we're going to spell out porn instead of being like...
Like we were starting to ask him about like psychology, and he's like, okay, guys, slow it down just a minute.
Yeah, right. But I think that he had a lot of really strong facts for us, but maybe it's time that we get into some happy facts.
Porn happy facts. If you were new to the program, a happy fact on the Young and Happy is basically something that we heard, and we internalized it, and we just keep it as a fact in our mind, although we've never fact-checked it. Doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean it is true. Just makes it a happy fact.
It's just things that we understand to be true. And what, are you going to freaking ruin our illusion of what we believe to be true? I don't think so. Caleb, hit him with a porn happy fact. We're going to dump a huge load of porno happy facts on you. So get ready. I hope you're wearing a freaking umbrella.
Okay, I heard this. I heard in the streets that, okay, so obviously men for humans are copulate?
Copulate.
The women. Which means that we like the sexual aggressors for the women.
We put our dick in.
Now, okay.
We do the fucking.
Mostly. I think there are exceptions to this, even with the humans. To all my progressives out there. And right. I'm with you.
If you want to throw a strap on.
If you don't think I'm progressive, check out my virtual reality porn coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm living in the future. But with that being said, humans, we're the copulators. However, crickets.
Right.
Not. Men, not. Copulators. Females are the copulators. So in order to do this experiment on the to see who the aggressor is.
So wait, they're doing an experiment to see if the Coolidge effect
correct
happens in crickets.
They want to see if male crickets need to have new stimuli all the time. So in order to do that, since the males are not the aggressors, they got to kill off the women. And then the male crickets, they still had sex with the dead crickets.
What? So what does that prove?
I don't know. I just thought it was really funny.
that the crickets are just having it's sex gross. With the dead crickets.
Is it funny
crickets.
Or gross? Funny or gross?
I mean, if it's getting these, giving these guys, who's getting hurt?
And also the results.
No one's getting hurt from it.
I heard that the results were that the actually crickets were one of the only species where the males are not Coolidge effect doesn't work on them.
Well, can I speak to the crickets
that was,
fucking?
That was not very eloquent.
That's
of me,
okay though. But can I speak to the crickets fucking the dead bodies?
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to focus on there
because. Honestly, I think that what prevents humans from doing this is we just have a massive respect for the dead, and we really like care about and respect the dead so much. But it's like once someone's dead, their body isn't really anything but trash and compost. So I might sound super duper progressive on this one, but I would be all right if we just let our sexual deviants fuck corpses.
Okay. That's your progressive take for the day. brought to you by Progressive. Yeah, we need to give Progressive as a sponsor.
You got 15 minutes?
No.
Save money on car insurance by switching to Progressive.
That's Geico.
You got 15 minutes? Fuck a corpse.
No, but yo, but listen, this is what I honestly think. I think, first of all, this proves that crickets are super non-judgy.
Yeah, it's really cool of crickets.
Very non-judgy and
that's
progressive.
That's super
of
cool
crickets.
Of crickets.
Also, I think that the reason why we as humans don't do this is because we see ourselves as having afterlives. So even though like we're dead, we actually kind of have a little, it's not so much that we have respect for that person's body. It's more that we're like, yo, when I'm in my afterlife,
I don't want anyone to fuck me.
Yeah.
So we need some brave humans out there who are like, you know what? I want to keep some dirty deviants off the streets. So rather than donating my body to science, I'm going to donate my body to the deviant house and let them toss me around like a garden salad.
I could totally see some of the people from the porn convention doing that. Some of the porn stars, they do not care.
After death, I might do that.
And it should say on your license, like it should be organ donor and it should be
sex deviant donor.
Deviant donor. Deviance donor.
Deviance donor.
That was your progressive take for the day. Well, you got a happy fact?
My happy fact is essentially people who watch porn have less active brains.
Wait, what?
People who watch porn, if you do a lot of porn watching in your life, it shows that you have decreased gray matter in your brain. There's
gray's good.
So gray matter is like the active shit in your brain, pretty much, from what I understand. I'm not Johnny Gray Matter over here, but from what I understand, having a lot of gray matter shows a lot of activity in the brain, and maybe people with less gray matter, it's a chicken or the egg situation, so people with less gray matter might find porn more rewarding, but people who have lots of gray matter might not find so much rewardingness with pain, or it could be that watching all the porn is decreasing the gray matter in your brain. So the internet is kind of telling me, from what I understand, that if I'm watching all this porn, my brain is going to shrink and it's going to be less useful.
This is what I think about that.
That's a super happy fact.
I think first of all, you made it up, which I respect.
It's a happy fact.
I don't even think gray matter is a real thing. With that being said, that's why it's good to be in 2017, because there's 100% going to be gray matter pills in like 2 years.
Yeah, we're just going to be able to stuff gray matter into our brain like insulation.
Like, yeah, basically you just like put it in at nighttime before you go to bed, like earplugs.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a pill, but you don't. It's not an oral pill. And then by the end of the night, it just dissolves into your ears and then you have a bigger brain.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, but where are you going to put all the brain? You're going to have to get bigger skull too. Or what, are they just going to squeeze the brain in there?
Well, at first,
like packing peanuts?
At first, it's going to be so expensive that only rich people can get it, and mostly rich people already have big skulls because they have big brains.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing is that their brain... Because if I... You know that I love this. You know that I love this happy fact.
This is his favorite fact in the world. A day doesn't go by that Caleb doesn't tell me that people with big brains are smarter. There is a correlation between big heads.
You have a big head, it means you have a big brain, which means you're smarter. And this is the thing, is that all these people, they got big skulls, these rich people, because they got big brains, but then they probably been watching too much porn, so they got the big skull they need.
You think all rich people are smart?
Yeah.
I think that's a subject for another show.
Okay, how about this? How about this? Even if it's like this... The 5-10% of like dumb rich people, or even if it's more, 15%, and they have like a small head, they definitely still watched porn, and they need the ear pills.
But maybe they might be less Whatever, from what it says, porn is.
You made up your happy fact. I don't respect it at all. I take away what I said.
When porn is on, people's motivation decreases. So maybe these people are so successful because they've been staying away from the porno.
Hey, can we throw in, Ben, that clip of Matthew McConaughey talking about jerking it?
I myself, I jerk off at least twice a day.
Wow.
Once in the morning, right after I work out, and then once right after lunch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to. That's not why I do it. Mm-hmm. I do it because I need to.
And we're back. So that was Happy Facts. That was kind of the show.
That is.
Do you want to do like final takeaways, like what our thoughts are on porn after we've done a thorough investigation,
including research,
Wikipedia, field work?
I feel like I'm worried that people are going to come out of this and being like, whoa, these are anti-porn guys. And so I'm not saying that we should be anti-porn guys, but I'm more saying that like while I might not be super duper into porn, like I don't watch a ton of porn. Like this whole week I was lunking a little bit like by not knowing all these porn stars. Like I like producer Ben like knew every porn star that we ever passed.
Producer Ben, huge porn guy.
This is false. I feel like you guys are just I knew as many as any normal person would.
And I just don't know that many porn stars. And you think that I'm lunking, being like pretending not to know porn stars, but I really just don't. Like you just had a Rolodex of like names, just being like, "Yo, that's this person, that's that person, that's this person."
I'm gonna say this, and I'm saying this from an objective perspective. Ben, either if you know the average amount, then you have to admit that Ron and I don't. We are less than average when it comes to knowing porn names, because you can't say that we were faking that. Why would we fake that?
To look cool?
To look cool? Like, hell, I don't
know. I don't like porn. I don't jerk off.
I don't know. Maybe I felt like I was trying to be alienated.
No, I just really just didn't know these girls.
You thought we're trying to alienate you?
Bro, we're trying to bring you
in,
bro. All
right.
By saying that you watch porn? Why is that a bad thing? So that seems like you have a negative correlation with porn in your mind, thinking that we're going to shame you for watching porn. There's no shame in my game. If you watch porn, watch porn.
Felt a bit
Wait, is that your final take?
No. My final take is we're not anti-porn guys. And my final take
Wait, your final take is speaking for me?
Well, my final take is that I am not an anti-porn guy. My final take is that with anything, as your cousin said, like we can get addicted to a lot of things. So with anything, it should be used in a mindful moderation. Like it shouldn't be something that like you're going home fucking watching porn, you're waking up in the morning watching porn, you're fucking sneaking off from work watching porn. That shows an addiction. But if it's something that is giving you like a catharsis, like John Mayer once said, it's like fucking putting your mind through a washing machine when you jerk off or something. And that kind of makes sense. Like if you were getting some kind of catharsis out of it, if it's getting it out of your system, fucking pop on a porn. Ben, I'm not fucking shaming you. I'm proud of you watching porn. I love your porn addiction. But
we're actually
we're nowhere near.
We're huge fans of your addiction, man.
I'm kidding. But my point is that I just think it's a fascinatingly interesting part of our world, and I'm glad that we got to see a little bit more of it, and it gave me kind of a more circumspect view on what's really going into my
one of the biggest industries, myself. One of the biggest industries in the world.
Right.
Okay. My takeaway is that, first of all, anyone who doesn't think that porn is like a thing, I think girls don't think porn's like a thing.
What do you mean a thing? Like there's, it doesn't happen?
Or they know it happens, but they don't think, like, yo, like I said, 25% of all searches, are porn related. Porn is taking over the world, basically. Or sex has always been a thing in the world. What I just want to say is porn's a very big thing, and my perspective on it and my viewpoint on it is you just have to recognize it for what it is, and that is a very big thing, and also
it's a big thing. Can we say that this is a big thing one more time? Because porn is a big thing.
Okay, I'm not trying to be phallic in my statement. I want to get across the point that it has to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Women, men, you're not watching porn. You are watching porn. You got to take this stuff seriously.
Respect it.
If you're watching porn, you're basically doing drugs.
Yeah.
And if you're a drug doer, I'm not the person that's going to tell you to do anything. I don't think that it's good to do drugs, like hardcore drugs. I think that porn's pretty much like a hardcore drug.
So you think it's bad to watch porn at all?
Yes.
Really? So that's your takeaway from this? Because there are schools of thought that like porn introduces an unrealistic you know, like you think that that's really going to be like what your sex is like? Like maybe not.
Yeah, man, I think it's like anything else. It's so, there's so many gray areas with it. Like obviously we work with Asa Akira, who's awesome. We love her. We had a porn star, the number one porn star on the show today. I think he's awesome. He's one of the coolest people I've ever met. Like he had a really cool air about
it. But here you are trying to ruin their job.
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is like it messes up your brain if you really think about it. And you can take it as a release way, but if you're messing with fire. And just as a general thing, if you said, Caleb, should they or should they not, I would say no. Of course, no one's going to listen to that. No one is, because humans are humans, and you're going to do it. They're so easy to access. Everyone's going to watch porn. I'll probably watch porn. But, like, if we were going to talk about it in a realistic way, it's definitely not good for you. It's definitely not. It's like, right. It's like doing a drug.
That's your takeaway.
Producer Bennett, you're alienating me with that face. What? You would disagree with me?
False.
What do you mean false?
False that he disagrees. Either way, so that's your takeaway, Producer Ben. Any takeaways?
My takeaway, guys. I don't want to get hate for this. I'm not trying to hate anybody. I'm just saying
you're just porn shaming.
Look at the facts. It's not good for you. I'm not saying that it's gonna stop. It's gonna get bigger and bigger. It's gonna take over the world.
But as your cousin said, ejaculation is good for you.
But I didn't say that ejaculation wasn't good for me. My cousin also said porn's bad for you.
So you're just encouraging people to have a lot of sex, whether they can or not.
But you don't have to ejaculate watching porn.
But what if you have no sexual memories, and what if you can't get a girl to sleep with you? No. Stay a virgin forever, folks.
Man, I don't know. It's tough. That's why we're talking about it. It's why it's an interesting topic.
It is something big to talk about. Page views.
It's big to talk about,
I think what CP's saying is that ideally, it's not good for you.
Ideally, yes. But and idealistically, it's not good for you. But of course, everyone's going to watch it. Yes.
That's all he's saying. I agree with him. I wish that I didn't.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Thank you.
And I
thank
don't,
you,
on the record.
I'm glad that you're on.
You own the goggles.
I don't know what you're talking about, but hypothetically, if people did, I think that it's realistic. But ideally, it's like watching only highlight tapes. You know what I mean? That's not what the game's like.
Yo, I'm a liar if I sit up here and tell you guys that this is good for your life. It's not good for your life. It's not good for my life. But it's going to happen.
It's not necessarily going to ruin your life either.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
Producer
Ben, any takeaways?
Poor guy Ben. I mean, Producer Ben.
My only takeaway was the scene at the club. I felt like we were taking like a peek inside of like a social group that we would never see before. Like the 22-year-old who we spoke about in the interview, just watching him in the club, and
he looks like he's 12 years old, and he was just making out with porn stars. Like he was
out,
just like grinding
groping,
on them.
Like it was,
he was pretty aggressive.
It was insane. And all the porn guys, their dance moves were either the
mime jack off,
the air jerk off, like air guitar, but they would do an air jerk off. It was like a mix between like the dice throw and like the fist bump, yep. And then it was the air jerk off and the ass slap, like an imaginary ass slap.
And also
go to moves.
And also.
Dick punch.
Dick punch. Their dance moves are pretty dick-centric.
All the male porn stars were pretty much in a circle punching one another in a dick for like 2-3 hours.
Which must be a problem that people with large penises have.
And well, that's why you get insurance.
I think subconsciously they were doing it to compete with one another to try to hurt their competition. They were hitting each other in the nuts in the
very
middle of the
good.
Club. Like,
very
oh, it's
spicy.
It's a joke, but like I might be trying to hurt
I would
you.
Say that's the second strongest take of the show after Rowan saying that we should sleep with dead people.
I think that some people should donate their bodies to science so we have less perverts on the street. And if you can't get on board with that, I guess you're just in favor of flooding the streets with perverts. And that's your decision to be in favor of perverts. That's fine with me.
Last happy fact of the day. I just have this on my sheet and I didn't get it off. I want to get this off.
All right, get it off.
Philip Zimbardo says that guys prefer guys now.
All right, like that guy's just trying to normalize his own gayness.
No, he's just saying porn's such a thing now that that basically people are watching so much porn they can get off with the porn. They can get that that need. They can... what would you say, extinguish that desire so easily now that they prefer to be around guys all the time?
Like to have sex with?
No, not sexually, but like guys prefer guys for that reason. Like they don't like girls anymore. Like back in the day, he's saying that guys preferred girls.
To hang out with?
Yeah, but not anymore because we don't need them.
Huh. That's not bad. Well, we got a room full of guys right now.
And we've been having a great time.
A gathering of three or more men, I think, is scientifically called a podcast. and this is one of those. So this has been Young and Happy. I'm glad that you guys stuck around for a little porn talk. And catch us next time.
The only thing that sucks about this is that there's going to be no people on podcast on like iTunes who accidentally come across us by typing in porn, because no one looks for porn on podcasts. But if this was anything else, if this was a video, this would be the highest rated video of all time, just off people randomly clicking on it.
Hey, no worries, guys. We're glad of you people that did listen.
Thank you, guys. See you next week from live from Houston.
Adios.
Super Bowl.
I never take a day off, work around the clock, my engineer getting paid off, rock like A$AP, light the weed and take off, so high I cannot see, eight off, now I got these rappers all breaking up a sweat, cause every time I get up on the mic I come correct, and I learned it from the best, always dressing something fresh, looking for a little dime, big butt and nice chest, yes, they heard I used to rock guests, but now I'm rocking clothes that ain't in the stores yet, travel back in time, I'm in a vortex, trying to make it work out, think I need more. Reps. Used to take a bus, now the boy board jets. Cause kids got me buzzing like a fucking hornet. They say I got next, tell them that I got now. It's all Disney, boy, my family proud. Make them say L, make them say O. The hoes that tell me yes, the same ones that tell you no. Whoa, I ain't just an average Joe, way above the average flow. Boy, my life is most dope. No matter where life takes me, find me with a smile. Soon to be happy, on me laughing like a child. I never thought life would be this sweet. It got me cheesing from cheek to cheek, ay, ay. And I ain't get away for nothing, cause that just ain't my style. Life couldn't get better, this gon' be the best day ever. If it ain't about a dream, then it ain't about me. Go a couple full weeks without a good night's sleep. Imagination, making, musical creation. The journey that I'm facing, plus the paper that I'm chasing. Got me crazy after saying, with the lanes I see you hating. But there's nothing that you changing, thumbs up I'm maintaining. No complaining when it's raining, I'll be in another zone. Move out my mother's home to a world to call my own. I ain't gonna play around no more. Find the difference from the ground and the floor. If we gotta fight, I'll be down for the war. Thumbs up, homie, I'll be sure. No matter where life takes me, find me with a smile. Pursuit to be happy, on me laughing like a child. I never thought life would be this sweet. It got me cheesing from cheek to cheek, ay, ay. And I ain't get away for nothing, cause that just ain't my style. Life couldn't get better, this gon' be the best day ever.
Hey, this is Steve Bertone, host of the Forbes Interview Podcast, launching January 17th. My first guest is Adam Carolla, comedian and king of podcasting, sharing how he turned his persona into a media empire.
I came from a world where nothing really ever worked out and no one ever got to do what they want to do, not for a living.
Download or subscribe to the Forbes Interview on iTunes now, and don't forget to give a rating and review.